I'd like us to turn to John chapter 20, and we'll look at a few aspects of that text, probably from verse 1 to 18. And the title of our subject, the title of our message today is Mary Magdalene, a lesson from her life. Mary Magdalene, a lesson from her life. Now, it's been said that a person's devotion to Christ is measured by the obligation they feel under in light of God's mercies. And apart from the Apostle Paul, there is, in my view, no one who fits that description, if you like, than Mary Magdalene, one of the several Marys in the New Testament. One can only imagine what it must have been to be Mary Magdalene, a woman possessed of many devils. And Mary has a lot to teach us even today in the churches as well as in private, for private use as well as for corporate use. And I'd like us to think of Mary and consider several aspects about her. First of all, I'd like us to think about her devotion to Christ. Her devotion to Christ. And we're largely focusing on John chapter 20. But we are told earlier about Mary that she waited upon a master. We're told in other portions of Scripture that Mary was a person who waited upon the Lord. She met his necessities. She was one who even went wherever he went, and she was one of the number of women that helped even the Lord as he went about ministering the word. And so you can see a woman who is devoted to her Savior. Where her Savior was, she would be there. Such was her dedication that even when he was at the cross, she was there. She drew alongside the Lord at the cross, looking at her Savior, beholding him, considering what he had gone through. Sure, she was aware that he had been tried, a sham trial, and the judgment had been passed. He had been exchanged for a thief, a murderer. And I'm sure she's aware of that. And she's there with the others, wailing, looking at her Savior and wondering what's happened to our dear Savior. So she's there at the cross. She's not afraid to be identified with the cross of Christ. And she looks upon her Savior with great empathy, great love in her heart for him. But of Mary, we're told as well that she was there at his grave. When he was being put in the grave, she was there. She wasn't afraid again to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so she is there with him even. But dear friends, we're told in John chapter 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark. She comes in early still dark. She's fearless. She's not afraid of the men who are guarding the grave of our Savior. They don't scare her. Think about this. The other disciples are locked up in a room, frightened. Not Mary. Her love for Christ draws her, even if it means that she might die. She wants to be with our Savior. And Mary, she doesn't know how she'll roll that stone away. She's come with spices. She comes to anoint her Savior. Now, in a way, her efforts are actually, if you like, you might be able to say pointless, because the Lord has already been treated, as it were. Remember, his body was anointed already, preserved, to be preserved, if you like, before he was put in the grave, sepulchre. And so she's carrying these spices, but it's almost pathetic for her to bring them. But she still does it. Her devotion to Christ. It's small. It's seemingly pointless. But her devotion to Christ drives her even to come with those spices. And look, she's not afraid even of those angels, because elsewhere we're told that there was an earthquake. That doesn't frighten her. Devotion to Christ. She yet goes forth. And we want to think about her determination and faithfulness, secondly. So her devotion to her Savior, then her determination and faithfulness. Mary, she's determined, she's faithful. The first day of the week cometh, and Mary comes early. Her comforts are not important, and not as important as what she has to do. She's not concerned for her life. She's not concerned for anything else. And the interesting thing is that who's going to roll the stone away? She hasn't got the strength to roll the stone away. Who's going to get rid of all those guards there? But she still comes. Her comforts are not very important to her. But notice as well, she's not so bothered about the others not coming. She doesn't say, because everyone else hasn't come, all the other disciples, John, the beloved disciple, is not here, so I'm not going. She goes. Faithful, determined, I must go. You can imagine her waking herself up. Come on, Mary, come on, go. Go and see to it. A loving duty she has to do, a must go. She goes. Elsewhere we're told that she's with other women. And look, she comes. She's a very brave woman, a brave person. She looks into the grave and she's noticed that the stone is taken away and the Lord is not there. And so in her wisdom, she turns around. Let me tell the others about this. The scriptures tell us in verse 2 that she run. She run. Mary, she does not consider her comforts, and then she wisely goes back to tell the others about what's happened. As far as she's concerned, the Lord's been stolen. His body has been stolen. They have taken away the Lord, and we don't know where they've laid him. So she has to tell the others, look, let's do something. Peter, John, let's do something. Our Lord's been taken away, his body. She was an action woman. No time for lying around, that Mary. She must act. And she does so, I'm sure, quite wisely and speaks to them quite gently. But nonetheless, she has an urgency about her. They have taken him away. And we don't know where they have laid him. It's urgent, Peter, come on. And you can see that Peter was convinced that this was urgent, because in verse 3, he goes forth with them, with John, and they run both together. And to all intents and purposes, Mary was running alongside them. So she is a wise woman and quite committed. But Mary as well, she was singular in her determination and faithfulness. When they get to the grave or the sepulchre, John and Peter turned back when they saw nothing, when they didn't see the Lord's body in the grave. They turned round in verse 10. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. He's not here. What can we do? Let's just go back. Not Mary. Very singular. Verse 11 says, but Mary. The others went away, but Mary. By this time, she's the only one of all the women that were there, had gone in the first place. She was the only one that was there. The only disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ that says, I cannot depart from here until I find out what's happened to the Lord. But Mary stood. That's someone who's determined and faithful. Stood outside. She's sad, she's weeping, but she's determined and faithful. Peter and John just had a look. Oh, he's not here. Off we go. She remained. And she's weeping. Mary, very singular. But notice as well, Mary is not mesmerized by the angels. The two angels there, the scriptures tell us in verse 12, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And verse 14 says, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back. Angels, she's not there for them. She's not easily taken aside. She's determined and faithful. I want the Lord, not the angels. Fantastic as they are, that doesn't attract her. She's not mesmerized. Christ alone is what they've come for. But look, she owns the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 13, they have taken away my Lord. He is mine. They've taken him away. They've taken away my Lord. You see,
singular. She is very singular.
See, she's like that woman in the Song of Solomon who speaks of their beloved. My beloved is mine, and I am his. So she owns the Christ. She hasn't stopped considering him as Lord. My Lord, they've taken my Lord, the one who reigns over me. Look at what she says to them as well. She wants to take care of his body. Pardon me, what she says to the person she thinks is a gardener. She thinks perhaps that this person has been involved in taking away our Lord Jesus Christ. And so she speaks to him. She sees the Lord Jesus. You see, in her grief, she doesn't recognize him. She's thinking, she's focused. My Lord has been taken. And the Lord says to her, notice the Lord says, woman, why weepest thou? He doesn't call her Mary initially. Whom are you looking for? What are you looking for? Whom do you seek? And she says, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him. Bold and determined, and I will take him away. How are you going to do that, Mary? How are you going to take him away? But you see, she's determined. She's faithful. She's not afraid of this gardener. Give it to me, or give him to me. Give his body to me, if you're the one who has taken him. I mean, if the gardener had stolen the body of Christ, would he give the body of Christ to her? But she's bold, she's determined. Faithfulness drives her. So this is Mary, singular. But let's also consider the fact that she recognizes her master's voice. In verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Just that one word, Mary. When he said woman, she didn't recognize. But when he said Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. She recognizes her master's voice. I don't know whether the Lord Jesus changed the tone of his voice. Maybe it was gentler. I don't know. We don't know. But nonetheless, she responds to her master's voice. In other words, she's saying, it's him. I found him. But let's consider as well. She still recognizes him as master, Lord. Just because he had seemingly been defeated doesn't mean that he is not Lord any longer. She recognizes this is still my master. He's still the creator of all things. But dear friends, let's consider her reward for her commitment and her devotion to Christ. Mary is given that privilege and honor of being the first human being, apart from the gods, if you like, the first disciple to behold the risen Savior. Can you imagine what that must have been? Still so discouraged, despondent, perplexed, elsewhere we're told about her. Fearful. But when the Savior rises, she is among, or she's the first one to behold him, to hold him, or she almost touches him. But he says, touch me not. Can you imagine what that must have been like? What a blessing, what a joy for Mary. She has the privilege that the other disciples didn't have. And she is the first one to hear his voice again. And she's the first one to be comforted. The others were still in the room grieving. And they were grieving up till evening. But she is comforted early. So many lessons from us, for us from here. If we are committed and devoted to the Lord, he will grant us privileges. We will hear his word early. We'll be comforted early in the midst of troubles. And Mary has the honor of bearing the good news. He is risen. What a life. Devoted, faithful Christian woman. She receives double portions of Christ, as it were. First, when he is risen, and then at the gathering with the others. Because as she's telling them that the Lord is risen, he appeared. So many lessons for us from this text. I'd like us to think of those lessons. Firstly, if we are to be committed, devoted to Christ, we must review what great things he has done for us and in us. Mary, her commitment, her devotion and commitment to Christ was because of what Christ had done for her. She had seven devils, we are told. She had been delivered from seven devils. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Possessed of seven devils. This dear woman is set free from all of them. To be indwelt by seven wicked spirits whose aim was to destroy her was not a light thing. And, you know, the Bible usually uses the number seven to describe completeness. So there was a sense in which she was completely overwhelmed. Her will, her mind, her heart, everything was completely overruled, as it were, by the devils to the nth degree. Mary was hopelessly and completely under the control of the devils. But she was delivered, and she considered that deliverance, and that gives her that devotion and commitment to Christ. Her determination and faithfulness arises from that. She has evaluated what great blessings the Lord has bestowed on her, and thus she is devoted and committed to her Lord, no matter what, she'll be there. And this had a major impact on her life. And so if we are to be committed to the Lord, just like Mary was, we have to consider what great things God has done in our lives, because he has done great things in our lives, delivering us from wickedness. Where would you be? Where would I be if we hadn't been delivered by the Lord? It starts from there. But devotion and determination starts from taking up the cross and sacrificing one's comforts. You see, she took up the cross. She wasn't concerned about the comforts of life. And so if we would be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to take up the cross. Take up the cross in the Sunday school. Sunday school work isn't easy. You have to keep on going and going and going. Sometimes you're discouraged. What do you do? Do you turn back? You keep on going. You're determined. Take up the cross. Sacrifice your comforts. I know of some churches that start a Sunday school, and then because they're few in number, after a few, maybe months, they stop it. They're not taking up the cross because they're thinking of their comforts. They're discouraged before time. It's hard work. What about the outreach? Sinners in the street, on the doors. It's hard work. But faithfulness requires a taking up of the cross. I must go. We must go. What about the prayer meeting? So sad, in so many churches, the prayer meeting is the least attended of all the services in the church, and yet it's the most important. Pray without ceasing. How is God going to bless you if you're not praying? It's a commandment. And if you're not obeying, you're disobeying. And God will judge. Prayer is so vital. The gathering of the saints together. Also, how do you rejoice in the Lord if you don't pray together and see answers, wonderful answers to prayer? A church that doesn't pray hasn't known dependence on God, hasn't taken up the cross. Prayer meetings are vital. If we would be faithful, we must take up the cross. Yes, it might mean that you don't have your dinner that day. So be it. It might be that you're tired that day. Do you know, when you get to the prayer meeting, the Lord wondrously works within you to revitalize you, and you're re-energized. You're re-energized even though you're weary. You're re-energized within. Commitment. Even Bible studies. We must attend to God's word. It's the means God has given us to grow. There are other avenues of service. Take up the cross. Sacrifice your comforts. Get rid of all those things that keep you from being devoted to Christ. Is it the television? Get rid of it. A while ago, my wife and I made the decision to get rid of our television set. It was quite a while ago. But it was interesting when we got rid of it.
We've got a letter through from TV license saying that we haven't paid TV license. And we said, yes, we haven't. And the lady said, do you realize it's illegal to watch TV without the TV license? We said, oh yes, we know that. And then she said, but don't you realize that you're doing an illegal thing? And I said, no. She said, yeah, but you haven't paid. We said, well, actually, we don't have a television set. And she changed her tack. She said, oh, what do you do for entertainment? I said, we don't need it. Comforts, distractions. And so we get rid of everything that keeps us from serving the Lord as we should. We must be counted. Mary was willing to be counted, counted faithful. She said, as it were, here I am, Lord, use me as is fitting in thy sight. We should have that sort of commitment. Here I am, Lord, use me. Pray every day, Lord, use me. Take me where thou would have me be taken. Place me where thou would have me be placed. Do what it takes, Lord. Don't be afraid that the Lord will somehow destroy you. The devil sometimes whispers like that to Christians. If you give yourself to the Lord, you'll be in trouble. God, our God, is not like that. He'll take you where you are needed and grant you the grace to bear. He's such a gracious God that we must yield our lives to him and be counted. But we must be singular and wise, just like Mary. When she was perplexed, she went to look for help. We must be like that. The brethren here are available to us. You've got pastors, you've got elders, deacons, brethren in the church. Seek help when perplexed, but be focused. Do not be easily moved. Mary wasn't. She wasn't easily moved. If the others didn't go, she still went. She wasn't moved by the angels. She wasn't moved by those things around her. Despite that stone on the grave, on the sepulchre, she wasn't moved. She had faith. She was fearless. She set her mind on the Lord. He was the sent-down focus of her life. And thus everything that she did was centered on Christ. And she devotes herself and commits herself to the Lord. And she is rewarded by the comforts of Christ. She left behind her comforts, but she's given the comfort of Christ. And that's what will happen to us. If we yield our lives totally to Christ, he will give us his comforts. He will be with us. He will walk with us. And he will lead us. John 20, verse 18 says, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Don't you think they were envious? I think they were. This is probably evening when she's telling them. The Bible tells us anyway. And by then, the two men the Lord Jesus had spoken to on the road to Emmaus were there. But Mary, she is devoted and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, our Lord is a gracious God, and I would urge you to be devoted to him. Give him your all. As a Christian, give him your all. Give him your all as a church. Spare nothing for the sake of the Lord. May the Lord be central both to the church here and to the lives of the saints. May the Lord lead you as you devote yourself to him, as you remain faithful in his vineyard. Amen.